Okay, we're going to start at the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Today's daf, and then going to the next couple of daf, we're getting to some pretty fundamentals in Hilchos Kashrus, Hilchos Terovet, and things that we bump into almost every day. The first thing is Chamra Atika Be'inve. We're talking about fermented wine, older wine already, Be'inve with grapes. Divya Kol Benotein Tam. There, the question of whether it's asur or not depends on the tam, on the flavor. Because chamra atika, the older wine, is clearly has a different taste than the inve, than the grapes themselves. On the other hand, chamra charata b'inve, if you have grape juice, basically or newer wine with the grapes, which have the same or similar taste, then what do? Abaya amar b'mashuhu, by says any amount, is problematic. It has to do with notein tam, that if it gives flavor. Now, how do we know if it gives flavor? If they're the same flavor, so that's what Rashi points out over here, which is, any place where the Gemara says it's been notein tam, but there's no way to determine if the flavor is there, then that is 60 to 1. That's the underlying assumption. The Shulchan Aruch, when quoting this, brings down that if we have a goy, you can come along and taste it, we see if there's no tein tam. If we don't have a goy, you can taste it, then we're mishar b'shishim le'achat. And the Ramah there talks about the fact that today we're not somech on the goyim at all, and that we always go with the 60 to 1 calculation about what is considered bitul, whether there is no tein tam or is not no tein tam. So, by amar b'mashu, why butter time as linon? We go after the taste. So when we go after the taste, or the with the flavor that's there, the chamro charato, the grape juice, and the inve and the grapes have the exact same taste. So vidividi chad taimahu, that's one flavor, one taste. Tavle min bimino. That's a case of min bimino, and we know about min bimino is bimashuhu. Then when you have the same exact item, then they when they combine together, they are not batel, but rather even the smallest amount causes a problem in terms of isur. Rav amar benotein tam. Why bata shmazli? Now we go after the name of the item or the product. One's called grape juice, and one's called grapes. So they're two different items, two different products, and that's min she'enu mimino. And min she'enu mimino, it's benotein tam. So they're working with the underlying assumption or the principle that anything that is min bimino, if it's two items of the two exactly the same items combined, then one cannot be mevatel the other because they are the same item. In that case, it's osir b'mashu. On the other hand, if you have two different items, then one of the items can be mevatel the second item. Question is, what determines what is two different items? So over here, this is machlokas by Rava. Both of them would agree if it was a separate product and a separate name that it's min b'mino is asur b'mashu, min she'enu mino is only asur b'notein tam. Over here, the problem is that we have half and half. We have the fact that the flavor is exactly the same, but their name, in name, they are different. So what governs over here? Does the flavor govern? That's what Abaye says, and therefore it's min b'mino and asur b'mashu. On the other hand, Rava says no, that it's the name that governs over here. And since the name governs, we have mino she'en b'mino, and therefore it is b'notein tam. It's important in Rashi over here. The girs in the Rashi is actually extremely important because it says, v'chol shemim b'mino mashu. The kaman paskinan, later on we say, the lav hilchot ha'ochi, that the lach is not this way. El afidu min b'mino b'notein tam, chutz mitevo v'yayin nesach. That even min b'mino is b'notein tam. If you look here on the Mesorot HaShas, right there he says, this Rashi is soter the what he writes in Chulin. Because in Chulin, Rashi does write that min b'mino is b'mashu, as opposed to notein tam over here. So the if you look in the Agota Bach, there is an alternative girsa over here, which would fit better. In the Agota Bach, Od Gimel, it says, v'nir b'enai sfarim acherim, and other sfarim was written, v'hochi hilchasa, t'chol min b'mino dino b'mashu. So that any, that's the halacha. The halacha is min b'mino is b'mashu, which would reconcile with Rashi and Chulin. Right, as well as the halacha, v'nuscha zu, v'perish Rashi, ikar. That's the way in Rashi. V'gazu, shi'a pi, perish Rabbeinu Tam. Nid p'sa b'toch perish Rashi b'taut. That this teya that comes from the Rabbeinu Tam was printed in Rashi's opinion. Gam itechein to perish Rashi d'ocha v'kodim chazara. Or the possibility is that here, this position of Rashi was written here before Rashi reverted his position or converted his position to be that min b'mino is b'ma shehud halacha, which is interesting in general in Avodah Zarah, which we don't see it as frequently. It's true throughout Shas that Rashi wrote a number of versions of his perush, and that he edited and redacted the perush as he went through. But nowhere like Avodah Zarah, where we see Tosfot all the time quoting that they saw the original versions of Rashi, and that there's a stira between the first one and the second one. We've seen a couple of numbers of Tosafot who said, oh, Rashi was Chazerbo. And we don't see that so often. But here, again, this is another case where the box is pointing out that maybe this is Rashi Lifnesha Chazerbo, that there were these two Madurat Rashi. Maybe this is the original Madura of Rashi versus the latter Madura Rashi, the later Madura of Rashi, which actually said that Min B'mino is B'mashu. Now, the Gemara says, Tanan, our Mishnah, Yainesech shall not follow Gabi Anavim. That you have in our Mishnah case of Yainesech falling onto grapes. We're assuming that the case in the Mishnah is we're talking about grape juice, newer wine, that is falling on the grapes. My la benotin tam. But the case must be a case of benotin tam. The one says, no, but mashu. Because if it's benotin tam, there would be a proof to rubble. If it's b'mashu, then it's good for abaye. So Mar says, "Va'ah miktani seifa zeh klal kosh behanato benotin tam asur, kosh im behanato benotin tam mutar." So since the seifa of the Mishnah lays out the principle that how do we know whether it works or doesn't work, whether the flavor matters or doesn't matter, it's all about benotin tam. That's the case in the seifa of Mishnah michlal. From there, you can imply that the ratio benotin tam askinan, that we're dealing with benotin tam, and that would be a problem for abaye. So now, how does Abaye solve that problem? If our mission is really discussing notin tam, and now we have chamra charata, we have grape juice with grapes, and the mission is requiring a notin tam. In order for it to be asur, we need notin tam. So Abaye can solve the problem easily, because we started out this piece of the Gemara with kasal kadatcha, that your underlying assumption here is that we're dealing with grape juice and grapes. So what's Abaye's solution to the problem? It's not grape juice. It's yayin atiko. Says Abaye, matnitim b'chamra atika b'inveh. So that's it. Our mission is dealing with the case where we're dealing with older wine, already aged wine, along with the grapes, and therefore it's benotin tam, because even Abaye agrees to that. We saw that was the first line of our Gemara today. Since the Mishnah is ambiguous, all it says is Yayin Nesech. We don't know if the Yayin Nesech is talking about Chamra Charato or Chamra Atika. So if you say it's Chamra Charato, that's good for Rava, and Rava can learn the Mishnah that way, and it even be approved to him. On the other hand, if you learn that it's a chamra atika, then Rabbi can read into the Mishnah or fit into the Mishnah that way. Since it's ambiguous, we have no proof from our Mishnah. What Tosfos does ask over here, which is a very interesting issue, is that we know that from our Mishnah that notin tam lifgam is mutar. If there's a bad flavor imported by the item, that item doesn't make a problem, isn't the problem of Isur, because it's not adding flavor, it's not doing anything that's beneficial to the product. The question is, what happens when I have products that are asur b'mashehu? That makes sense. When I'm talking about benotin tam, the problem here is if it adds flavor, then it's problematic. But then I can distinguish between notin tam lifgam and notin tam l'shevach. So there, I would make such a distinction. When I'm talking about mashu, it's clear that the tam is irrelevant. Because the fact that I say it's already also for mashu, why should the flavor matter whatsoever? So Tosos suggests, based on this, that there are those that are mefarshim. So the top Tosos, Isha yu mefarshim, to chol isra avi b'mashu, lo amrinim bei notin tam lefgan mutar. Dayin lechatam batel yoter mimashu be'elef. There is no more insignificant flavor than a mashu. And if an insignificant flavor can create isra here, then it should be irrelevant whether it's notin tam the gam or notin tam the heter. He says, Vein Raya Mikan, tries to prove it from our Gemara, and he says, not a proof from over here. Then Tosas backpedals and says, no, he doesn't agree with these Yesh Mefarshim. And he says, Ode, the mashu min b'mino. When we're talking about mashu min b'mino, ain't a tam, batel klal. Afilu b'elef, given sha'atam sheveh. So that v'ad lifgam, atam batel. We're talking about two different issues. He says, why is it by a min b'mino that a mashu creates a problem? The reason a mashu creates a problem is because you can never have batel at tatam. You can never have the tam be batel. When you're talking about min she'eno mino, you're talking about two different flavors. So the reason that you have bittel there, or have it be batel, is because one flavor can override the other flavor. So that makes sense. But he says when you're talking about min bimino, there is no bittelot. That's the problem. That's the equal part of the problem. You can never say that the drop of wine was in its batel, you did the grapes, because you, the same flavor, you can't have it be batel. So they're not one item, you can never be batel itself. So Tosu says that will distinguish it from Notin Tam Lefgam. Notin Tam Lefgam has a bad flavor. And with a bad flavor, there you could have Betelut Tam. Because if it's a bad flavor, then it's not the exact same flavor as the flavor that's there. So in that case, Tosu says, I want to distinguish. I want to say that Min Bemino is B'mashu. But nevertheless, if it's Notin Tam Lefgam, it'd still be Mutar. And the last thing Tosu says, which brings up a big issue in Rav Akiva Eiger, is that the whole reason that Min She'enu Mino is problematic is because of min bimino. And therefore, if you want to say that, then how could you be more mekyo in min shemino than min shemino, which is the source? So that's the last line. Mikom komen lo sortam lifkam, shlo yitafel chomor min haikar. So shlo bimino, eno asur elo atamino, elo vada in chiluk, tuchon no ten tam lifkam mutar. So that's those are the conclusions that no ten tam lifkam applies even bimashahu. And therefore, it'd be mutar. By mashu, if not in tam lefkam, it'd still be mutar. Now the Gemara moves on to the next question, which is another machlokas, Abai and Rava. And so we're going to have sequence of machlokot between Abai and Rava, where in general the halacha is, like Rava, we'll see on the second half of the Amud, that is machlokas in one instance about who the halacha is like. But nevertheless, we have a series of machlokot between Abai and Rava. And when we have a machlokot between Abai and Rava, unless it's Yalkagam, the halacha is always like Rava. So here's our next case. Chalo de chamro, v'chalo de shikra. I have vinegar that was created from wine, wine vinegar. V'chalo de shikra, and I have vinegar that was created through sheikhar, some sort of beer. V'chamiro de chite, v'chamiro de sare. And then I have some sort of yeast or rising agent that was a derivative of wheat, and then a chamira desari, and one was a derivative of barley. So now, bayamar, benotein tam, batur tam azlinan. Abaya l'shita to, before, which was that the tam is what matters, so over here too, since the tam is what matters over here, then the tam is different. You have wine vinegar and the beer vinegar. You have a rising agent made out of wheat and a rising agent made out of barley. Those all taste different. Even though both would be called vinegar, nevertheless, their taste is different. So Baye, just like before, said that it was min b'mino because of the tam. Over here, he's going to say it's min she'enu mino because of the tam. Baye tam alachud, baye tam alachud, baye min she'enu mino, min she'enu mino, v'notin tam. Rava, on the other hand, says what dictates, what governs is the name. So before, the names were distinct. I have grapes and grape juice. Over here, Iva says mashu. Both are shma azlinan. We go after the names. V'chala mikre, v'chala mikre. They're both called vinegar. I have vinegar and vinegar. That's the same product. V'chamira mikre, v'chamira mikre. This is, right, the yeast or rising agent. They're both called the same thing. They have the same name, so therefore it's going to be min bimino, ave min bimino, v'chol min bimino, b'mashuhu. So basically what you've seen here is the machlokes in a rabbi and rabbi applying in both directions. And in one case where it's a chumra that you go after the tam, and in one case it's a kula where you go after the tam, and the same with the shame that are back and forth. So that's the two sides of it. So now, rabbi, where can I prove to you the fact that what governs is the flavor and not the name? Because I have a braisa, detanyo, tavlin, beit v'gimel shemot. I have spices that have two or three different names. V'hei min achad, but they are one type. O min gimel. Or they are three different types. Asurin u'mitztarfim. They're both asur and they're mitztarif. Alright, so what's the braisa talking about? So Rashi claims, you can see this in Rashi, tavlin shnayim v'gimel shemot, v'hei min achad u'min gimel asurin. What is three names and one min? So Rashi says, I'll tell you what that is. That's pilpel lavan, pilpel shachor, and pilpel aroch. These are all three different types of peppers. Right? That'd be like yellow pepper, red pepper, and green pepper. Over here you have a white pepper, black pepper, and long peppers. But they're all peppers. So that's three shemot, three different names, but one min, one type. They're all peppers. That's what Rashi says. Then, what's min gimel? Min gimel means that they are actually three different types. So what's that? Min gimel, but, and Rashi says, not only is it min gimel, but they're also gimel shemot. Over there, it's three different types plus three different names. For instance, you would take garlic, onion, and pepper. But pepper here, the flavoring pepper, not the eating pepper. So this would be three different types. There'd be three shemot and three minim, according to Rashi. So that's, you have these two different, according to Rashi, that's what we're speaking about over here. Now, none of these individually have enough to flavor the item that they fell into. But together, the three of them do have the ability to flavor. So there we say there are surin umitzdarfim. There are sur and mitzdareif. V'amar chizkia. Chizkia says, why? Why should it be that if I'm talking about, you know, garlic, onion, and, I don't know, cumin, pepper, whatever it is, these three different spices, three different names, three different spices, why should it be that they're mitzdareif and they're asur? Each one individually couldn't have flavored it. Now all three together, they do give flavor, but they're giving a different flavor. So why should it be that they're mitzdareif? And in the first part of the braid also, which is that you have three different peppers, and then they are all giving, imparting flavor. But over there, you could understand or you could argue that they're giving the same flavor because they're all peppers. So, but the second half, what do we explain that? So that's what Chizkiya says. Hachab mine metika askinan. We're dealing with something that gives the same flavor to the pot, meaning that they're all sweeteners of some sort. They all give over this, their purpose that they serve, or the value that they create in the item that they're being cooked in, is the same. So since they, even though they're different items, but since their purpose is the same, that's it. Since each one individually could create or flavor the pot, so together, when they come together, they're accomplishing the same thing, because they're all flavoring the pot together. So now based on that, Yamart, if you say bishlama butter taimaz linan, if you go after the flavor, then we're all talking about the same flavor, meaning in a more generic sense. It's not the same flavor exactly, but because their purpose is to do the same thing to the item that you're cooking, they all have one flavor, and that's why they're mitzdareif. Eliyamar, but the shmazli, and if you really hold like you, Rabbi, that you go after the name, what do you get? Garlic and pepper and onion, they all have totally different names. You can't claim that they're a single item. Who's the author of this bright over here? That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is an unusual position. Titanyo, Rabbi Udo Meir Mishum Rabbi Meir. Udo says the name Rabbi Meir. Minayin l'chol isurim shabat Torah shemitztarfim zeh emzeh. Where do you know from the Torah that any isur is mitztareif? Because it says, Shnemar lo tochal kol toeva. Kol shetzi avdi l'cha haru b'val tochal. Anything that I said is improper for you, that is unwanted or asur for you, all of those are b'val tochal, you may not eat them. So because of that, or because of this limud, he suggests that all isurim come together and are going to be mitzdareif to get to a single shi'ur. So even though they don't have the same name, right, and we don't, according to Rava, flavor makes no difference, nevertheless, they are mitzdareif. They're mitzdareif because all isurim are mitzdareif together. Now, we have a number of things to address over here. What happened to Chizkia according to this answer? This answer says that everything that is asur is mitzdareif. According to Rashi, we don't need Chizkia. Rava does not need Chizkia anymore. Abaye needs Chizkia to explain why they're all a single flavor in the Braita, and that's why he has Chizkia. According to Rava, if you say Rabbi Meir is the author of the Braita, then flavor doesn't make a difference anymore. It doesn't make a difference to us whether it's the same flavor or different flavor. As long as it's Isur, they can be mitzdareif. Tosfos over here suggests no. He says no, that even Rava keeps Chizkia lemaskana. What does he need Chizkia for in the Maskos? Everything's also. He says it depends on what the Isur is. Is it Be'en or is it Enu Be'en? And based on that, it will make a difference whether you need a Chizkia or not. So it says, L'chein Nira, it's in the middle of the Tosus, V'Rova Amar Hamani Rabbi Meir. Here it's about the dead center of that Tosus. It says, L'chein Nira, the Rova, Nami Muki Laka Rabbi Meir, Ita the Chizkia. He has him. Anything that's an isur can be mitzareif. What do I need chizkia for? Tell me it's the same flavor. I don't need that at all. Even if they're not all doing the same thing to the pot, that's only when the isur is still extant and around. If you have half a side of this, half of this, even if they're now giving off the same flavor. If they already became mixed in with the item that it's being cooked with, they're no longer extant. If you hide the tavlin, bait, but when we're dealing with spices, that's obviously the case, because the spices get absorbed into the pot or the tavshil that is on the fire. Marim shem tabel behem b'ktira. Afilu Rabbi Meir mod l'chizkiya the daf gave him initika mestarfim. Kevin shem shavim l'mateka ktira. Because at least they're doing the same thing. V'meinim shavim v'meinim itika. If they're not doing the same function within the item that you're cooking, lo mitstarfim, they're not going to connect. Kevin she'inam shavim b'nitinatam b'ktira. Shezeh ba'la matek v'zeh ba'la chazek. Right, one comes to flavor, sweeten it. One comes to make it spicy. You can't say they're mitzareif when they're not around. Now, if they are around, then you have isur and isur. Isur can be mitzareif, and we don't worry about anything. So that's fine. If we have isur, that's easy. Even chatzik zayit, we can mitzareif. Because there's the isur. We can see the isur. We know what the isur is. That can be mitzareif because of this pasuk. Problem is when the isur disappears, when it's coming to flavor the pot, and the isur disappears, then you can no longer claim that, oh, here's the isur, here's the isur. The isur's gone. What's left is the flavor. So then it becomes important that the flavors are doing the same thing. Otherwise, why would you have this flavor and that flavor? How can you claim that they're being mitzareif? They're not doing anything that is, they're not doing a common thing or common ground between them. So Tosa says, even the Maskono Ravo, who is saying that this is authored by Rabbi Meir, says Rabbi Meir still needs chizkia in the cases of shelo be'en. In the case like this, where it's spices, where it's lo be'en. Rashi says no, that the Maskono Rabbi Meir doesn't need chizkia at all, and that any isur would be mitzareif, irrespective of whether it's kula mine mitika or not. So that's one important thing out of Tosos. The second one is that Tosos disagrees with Rashi about what it means that the tavlin bento gimel shemotain. We saw in Rashi what is gimel bento gimel shemot. It means that there's this black pepper, white pepper, and long pepper. That was what was gimel shemot. And then the gimel minim is obviously three different types of flavorings we saw, onion, garlic, and so on and so forth. So Tosa says, I don't understand, I don't agree with Rashi. So he says, Tavlin, it's the second line in the widest lines of Tosa. Tavlin, shel gimel shemot, tein min echad. Peshash, shekom pilpul lavan, pilpul shechor, v'pilpul aruch. Tein min echad, v'klom kurim pilpulim. Oh, gimel minei tavlin, k'go pilpel, kimon, and kinamon. Right, pepper, cumin, and cinnamon. And those three together also, those would be gimel minim. He says, and Tosas brings other questions, but one of the stronger questions he has is, well, gosh, b'chol duchto abi per shame isur. That wherever you have throughout Shas, the Gemara uses the term shame. Shame doesn't mean literally a different name. Shame means a different isur. Because, for instance, we had this together. Right, we had this before, like, if you eat a nimala, he brings down here as the case, if you eat a nimala, you're chayav for, right, sheish malkot. And the Gemara asks, oh, what about this one? What about this other isur? How come he can't say seven, he can't say eight? So he said, lo Hashem avi lezeh, maybe lezeh. I mean, it's not the same isur, it's not the same action that's doing it. You're in a totally different category. So that's what the term shame is used, is a different isur. So the chay nira, so that's what the Tosa explains, the shemot, the kamar hainu shame isur. We're talking about different isurim here. So that's an example, again, he brings this from Perek HaZorei, Gabi Yisho Chol Achil Echad, V'chev Le'echad Hei Chata'ot. V'achi Perushu Hacha, Tavlin Shel Shnai Mikimu Shemot, Kungon, Pilpel De Kil'ayim, Pilpel De Orla, and Pilpel De Truma. I mean, that they're all Pilpelim, but they're all different Yisurim. We're talking about Kil'ayim, Orla, and Truma. The Tlat Yisurim, Mikonim Min Pilpelim. And then Gimel Minim Pilpelim, right then, more time, Gimel Pilpelim is V'kinamon, V'shar Minim, Kulam Yisur Echad. So that's what we're talking about. That's when Isur Echad means that they're all a problem of Kilayim, just that they are different flavors. So as opposed to Rashi, Rashi read it as three names and one flavor. And then he read it as three names and three different flavors. First case is what you have different, Bezin Gibel Shemot, which is, you know, black pepper, white pepper, and long pepper. But they're all Min Echad, they're all pepper. And then in the second say was O Gimel, he says that's both. It's garlic, cumin, and cinnamon. So they're totally different. They're not the same min, and they're not the same shame. Whereas Tosa says, no. That it first of all means three, when we say this shame, three shemot means three different isurim. Kilayim, orla, and kilay zurim, or kilay kerem, whatever it is, you have the devitruma, whatever the isur is that you have here, tevel.
But it's the same item.
It's the same item. It's pilpa. It's all peppers. But then when he switches to the gimel, minim, that's three different minim, but one shame. Not like Rashi says three shemot and three minim in the back of. No, it's one. It's three different minim, but one shem. So over here, there he says, oh, it'll be cinnamon, cumin, and garlic, but they'll all be the Easter of kilayim, although they'll all be the Easter of orla. So that's how Tosus reads it, what this breita means, as opposed to Rashi. And the key difference between them is that whether shem means the name of the item, or shem means the isur that is associated with that item. And then the other nafkamina will be in the second piece of that breita, where they read, v'hei min echad, o min gimel. Min gimel, Rashi reads as min gimel and gimel shemot. Which Tosus reads min gimel as three different minim, but one shem isur. Right now, continuing the Gemara. Gemara says, chala lego chamra. If you have vinegar that falls into wine, divrei alkol benotein tam. Everybody agrees that that is affected by notein tam. Chamra legol chala. On the other hand, if wine falls into vinegar, now we have a machlokas of bayin rabba. Bayin amar b'mashu. Bayin says the smallest amount. Rabba amar benotein tam, and he's a notein tam. Now, why does everybody agree when it goes when you have the vinegar following into the wine? Why is it that everybody agrees over there? Because the underlying assumption here is that the base, or the item that is stationary, is the rove. That it's the majority of what's there. So when you have vinegar falling to wine, our assumption is that the rove is wine, and you have now some smaller amount of vinegar that's falling into the wine. So the vinegar falling into the wine will still be distinct from the chamra, from the wine, because the vinegar doesn't take on the properties of the wine when it's falling into the wine. It might affect the wine when it's in there, but it doesn't take on the properties of the wine. So therefore, wine is separate, the vinegar is separate, and the question is, notein tam, is there a flavor or not? Whereas on the other way around, if the base is vinegar, that means that the rove is vinegar, and now you have wine falling into it, the wine on the way down into the vinegar will take on the smell or the feeling of the vinegar, because the pungency of the vinegar, the smell of the vinegar, will overwhelm the smell of the wine, and then it'll become have the smell of only vinegar. There is wine in there, but the smell is only vinegar, and that would be the ikar machlokas here. So why is Abaye amar b'mashu? Why is it is when the wine falls into the vinegar, Abaye says it's a mashnu? Because recha chalo, it smells like vinegar. Ve'tama chamra, and it tastes like wine. Chalo, that's considered like vinegar. Ba'avale min b'mino, that's min b'mino, b'chol min b'mino is mashu. Rava amar benotein tam. Rava says it's a notein tam here. Recha chalo, if it smells like vinegar. Vetama chamra, and it tastes like wine. Chamra, that's a din in. Right, chamra has a din of wine. So they're machlokas. Avi min sheinu b'mino, v'chol sheinu b'mino, notein tam. So here you have a machlokas. When you have an item that has this one smell, but a different flavor, tastes like one way, but it smells differently, what governs? Is it the smell that governs, or is it the taste that governs? So here, when the wine is falling into the vinegar, you have a larger amount of vinegar, the wine's falling in. So the wine's going into the vinegar, its smell will now be overwhelmed by the smell of the vinegar, and it will become, or smell like vinegar now, because the wine is becoming irrelevant or insignificant in the face of the smell of the vinegar. Not that it's batel, but the fact that it goes in there already takes on the flavor of the vinegar, whereas the flavor can remain a flavor of wine. So that's machlokas. Rabbi says we focus on the smell, which is vinegar, and Rabbi says we focus on the taste, which is chamra, which is wine. And therefore, if it's wine, we have a min she'enu mino, and that'll be benotein tam. On the other hand, if we think it's vinegar from the based on the smell, then you have min bimino, and then umashahu be osir in this case. This machlokas is actually a machlokas that we saw back in Baba Batra with regards to whether you can make kiddush on such a wine. A wine that smells like vinegar and tastes like chamra, can you make kiddush on that wine? Bottom Tosus on the Samach Vav Amud Aleph, he speaks about here that tema the kashi yochad de yochada kaimalina rabba. We hold like Rava the Gabi Abaye. We came along for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We pass like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who is arguing with Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Baba Batra. So over there in Baba Batra, it sounds like when you have one smell and one flavor, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you go after the smell, which is like Abaye. So if we pass like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi over Rabbi Yochanan and we pass like Rava over Abaye, now you have a steer in the halacha. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying the smell dictates. Rava is saying that the taste dictates. So Tosfos says, no, Yesh Lomar, that over there in the Gemara Baba Batra, there was a second Lashon. And the second Lashon, then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rava are saying the same thing, which is that the taste dictates. So based on that, the last line of Tosfos is, Mikan Nira, Demuta Lekadesh, Be'er Shabbat, Al Yayin, Shereichu Chalav, V'tamei Chamra. And on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to make Kiddush on wine that smells like vinegar but tastes like wine, because the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Levi in the Lishna Achrina and Bava Batra, and like Rav over here, that wine is what it's called in this case. All right, now, Rav says, Batiha. Here's subject to Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what Batiha is. Rashi says, Batiha is that a hole. It's if you take a hole and punch a hole in the seal of the barrel up top, to test the wine, to see what it smells like, to see if it's fermented, where it's spoiled, what's happened to the wine. So they puncture this hole to have, they allow the fragrance or the aroma of the wine to leave the barrel. And that's what we're talking about, batia. Tosfos over here says that the word bat doesn't usually mean this. Bat means something that's a subsidiary or secondary to the item itself. So he quotes the Perush HaRach, which is that they used to have some sort of straw that went into the chavit, into the barrel. And then they used to put in a little kaneh, a smaller straw, smaller item into that, kamin dad, umerichin derech oto dad. And that dad that goes in there is the way they smelled it, through the second pipe that they put in, or maybe it touches the wine and they bring it out and they can smell it, whatever exactly the process is. But Tosa says that it's not just simply there's a hole there, rather a straw in which you insert something to get to the smell. Whereas Rashi thinks it's the hole itself, the opening itself. Tosfos does try to be miyasev Rashi afterwards and say that maybe that's what Rashi meant, that there was a hole there, and then you stick a straw into that hole, and that's why it's called a batiha. So that's what Tosfos tries to reconcile with Rashi. So this batiha, Ovi kuchavim be Yisrael shaper dami. If it's a non-Jew that is going into the Jews' wine, then it's fine. That's a shaper dami, no problem. And we don't go there the opposite, which is Yisrael bo b'chachavim. A Jew who's smelling that wine, that's subject to machlokas and bayin rabba. So now when the non-Jew's smelling the wine, we don't worry about it, because that's all he's doing, smelling the wine. There's nothing to talk about here. Why would you have thought there's an Yisrael? That's what Tosa says. Maybe I thought there's an Yisrael because the opposite way around, it's not true. If a Jew smelling the goy's wine, then there's a problem. So maybe we should be gozer auto. The answer is we not. That's shaper dami. But what happens when the Jew smells the goy's wine? Bayamar asur, rov amar mutar. Rav says it's problematic. Rav says fine. Bayamar asur recha miltahi. Because smell is real. Smell is problematic. Why? Here you have yayin nesech, and you're getting hanoah from the yayin nesech when you smell the fragrance that comes up, or the aroma of the wine that is coming out of the barrel. You smell it, you're getting hanoah from it. And Rabbi says, Recha milsi, that even though smell is an intangible item, it still is, halacha has tangible outcomes or tangible dinim. And the tangible din is that it's a milsahi, and therefore it'll be asur.
Is it asur because of hanoah, or because it's like a chila?
It could be. That's a good question. Tosfos discusses exactly that. Because he had in other places, maybe the recha has a din like shtia. When you smell something, it's the equivalent of ingesting the item. And that's why it's a sore. Or maybe it's simply because of the anoa. Here, we'll discuss that in a second. Tosfos does discuss that issue. Rav amar mutar, reich ala milti. That reach is not, it's an intangible item, and therefore it has no substance in terms of halacha, and there, even if you smell it, it's okay. I can prove to you that smell has no bearing. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Tanur shesiko bikimon shel truma. They fired up an oven with cumin or truma cumin. Fafabo at the pot, and then afterwards they bake bread in it. A pot muteret. The pot is fine. Lefi she'ein bo tam kimon, because there is no cumin flavor in it. Ela recha, that there's no physical cumin in there. Just the smell or the residual smell of the cumin affects the bread. Why? Because when you fired up the oven, the cumin was consumed in that fire. So the cumin's no longer there. All that's left is the smell flavor of the cumin, and that's what's affecting the bread. So Bayamar Shani Hotom Demikle Surey. No, even I agree with you in that case. Even in that case, there's no Recha Milsi here because there's nothing left. The thing was consumed, completely consumed. So over there we're gonna say it's Lav Recha Milsi. But over here, we're talking about a barrel of wine. A barrel of wine, the wine is still there. Right, the reach is the fragrance that comes off of the wine. That's intangible, but the wine is still physically there. And then everybody says, I'll distinguish between those two. Reach will only be milta when there's actually something tangible that is giving off the flavor. Or the aroma, the fragrance. That fragrance is only problematic if there's something that's generating it is there. If there's nothing there that's generating it, then it no longer is a problem, even according to Abaye. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mari Kitznai. This is similar to a machloket Tanaim. Someone scrapes off a hot piece of, a hot loaf of bread right out of the oven and places it on top of a barrel of wine of truma. So what's going to happen? The hot bread is going to absorb the flavor of the wine of the barrel that it's sitting on top of. And that wine is truma. So it's going to affect the challah, make it into truma challah. Rabbi Meir says it's a sword, it's now dinim truma. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yossi Matir b'shel chitin, v'oser b'shel seorim. Rabbi Yossi is a middle position here, that if it's wheat bread, then it's fine, because it's not so absorbent. But barley bread, which is much more absorbent, that is problematic. Mipnei shel seorim shovot. The barley draws the flavor into it. My law of ha'ikam iflagay. This is what the argument. Masav ha'recha milti, masav ha'recha lav, lo kumhu. It seems to be there, machlokas, is simply about whether recha milti, or you have wine, that has the aroma of the wine, fragrance of the wine is coming up and then being absorbed by the bread. So the question is this bread asur or not? That's a question. Well, is flavor meaningful or not meaningful over here? This flavor that's imparted by the smell, does that matter? So that would seem to be the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, no. The Rava Vada Itanahi. You're right. According to Rava, it has to be a machlokus Tanaim over here. Because according to Rava, Recha is lav milsi. Recha never is meaningful. Yet, there's clearly an opinion here, Rabbi Meir says it's Asur, and he must believe that Recha is Milsehi. So Rava has to say it's Machloket Tanaim. But the Abaye Milei Mitznai, according to Abaye, it does not have to be a Machloket Tanaim. Because Abaye says Recha is a Milsehi. Recha has substance in terms of Alocha. So Mechal Abaye, Lav Mi Yitmar Lo, didn't we already have a qualification of this brighter, this Mishnah, which is Amar Rabo, Barachan Amar Vishlokish, Bepat Chama V'Chapit Petucha. Talking about hot bread and an open barrel, divya kol asura. Everybody agrees that it's asura there because you have an open barrel of wine with hot bread absorbing the flavor. But patzonet v'chavit migufa. If we're talking about cold bread, the bread's already cooled off and the barrel is covered, divya kol muteret. Over there, there's no problem whatsoever because the bread's cold, the barrel's covered. It's not going to absorb any of the flavor of the wine. Lo nechukku ela bepat chama v'chavit migufa, hot loaf of bread on a closed barrel, or a patzoneret, or a cold bread v'chavit petucha, and an open barrel. So what you see here is that everybody holds recha milti. Everybody holds that recha makes a difference. Because when it's an open barrel with hot bread, everybody agrees it's asur. So if that's the case, everybody agrees recha milti. They're only arguing about this in-between case. We have cold bread on an open barrel or a hot bread on a closed barrel. Is there a flavor that gets through? So when it says, V'hadidei, nami kipat chama v'chavit petucha domi. And this batiha, this case of the flavor that's coming up, Abai says that's exactly the case. This batiha is a case where it's like an open barrel with hot bread, where everybody agrees it's asur, and that's the case of batiha. So going to your question, you have two important tosfotim here. You asked about the question of why is it that asur recha miltihi. So you look in Tosfos, the Abaye Amar recha miltihi, v'chashvinan lei kishoteh. It's as if he drank it. That's what you were asking before. What does it mean, recha milti, that he's getting annoyed? It's like as if he drank it, he ingested it. Avol ein lomar de chashvinon, not that we say over here that we consider it chashvile nehene, that he got hanoa shereach nichnos begufo umaziko. Tosas is the underlying premise here, that when the smell goes into the body, it actually is detrimental to the body. So therefore, the problem here is not a problem of hana'a, it's a problem of shotia. That's what you're asking. That it can't claim that it's hana'a because the kana is actually negative here. And then the Rava's reasoning then would be, why is reich alav milti? If you think reich is kishoteh, then maybe Rava, does Rava disagree with that point? Maybe not. But Rava believes over here. And that is, the time of the Rava, the lo chashile kishoteh, the fisha reich nechnas bifanav, the smell comes into his face, it hurts him. Kilku Rava la tikun vishari. The detriment exceeds the benefit. So you have, maybe the smell is like drinking, but you also have this negative effect of it coming into your face and the smell being, pushed, you're making something that's detrimental to the guf, that will override the fact that there's a shtia over here. So that's machlokas between Abaye and Rava over here. How do you view the fact that reach is like drinking? And then reach also has this negative effect of, it's mazik the guf. So we looked at them independently and say there, well, when you're getting the drinking part, that's independent of the smelling part that is mazik. Or if we look at it in a more holistic view, which is at the entirety of the package, and we look at the whole package, he's not making off with anything that is positive, because it ends up hurting him more than it is benefiting him. On the other hand, Tosfos says, when it's talking about zilov shel yayin nesach, when you're sprinkling wine of Yain Nesef, there it's Bade Asur because it's Hana Gemura. There you're getting full Hana from it. Aval Kishtiyah Bade Lo Machshirin Leila Ziluf. Right, Ziluf, that sprinkling of the wine, you definitely can't call that Shtiyah. That's not called drinking. But that's actually getting actual Hana from it. Ziluf Hana Lachudu, that Ziluf, sprinkling of the wine, is one Hana. The Chashiv Umitzer Gabi Nesef, that's significant, and that's Asur. Where the smell is coming out of a small hole, the gufon comes flying into your face, a mazik. When you sprinkle the wine, the flavor is dispersed. So that's what Tosa says, it'll depend. In our case, it happens to be that the reason it's asur here is because reach is kishtiyah. The smell is like drinking, and that's the problem in our Gemara here. Because if you don't say that, you can't claim that he's getting benefit from the smell. Why not? It's a small hole, and it bursts in your, that flavor, the smell, the aroma comes bursting into your face, and it causes you headache or makes it unpleasant for you. So because of that, that can't be the reason that you're a surveyor. It can't be, no, it has to be because it's kishtia. But Tosas does say, by Xilfa Yaim, where other cases where that's not the case, say you have an open barrel, where there's plenty of space, it's not going to come flying into your face and be mazikyu, then it would be Hana. The problem would be Hana, not shtia. So you asked me before, what's the problem here? Is it Hana or shtia? In our case, it happens to be that the problem is shtia. But that's not true in all cases of Reach. Reach could be a problem even independent of it not being Shtia because of the Hana that it brings. It has to be a question about what the context for the circumstance is. If it's Mazik your goof, then we have to look at it as a Shtia issue. If it's not Mazik the goof, then it's a Hana issue. And therefore, those would be the distinction between them. Then the last, the second Tosus that I really want to do here is this big Tosus in the middle, which is you run into a problem here, which is that we have a machlokas Abaye and Rava. What did we say before? Machlokas Rava and Abaye, halacha ke Rava. It turns out that in the Gemara in Psachim, there's also machlokas Rav and Levi in Reach, whether Reach Milsahi, when they're cooking two items together in a single oven, whether Reach Milsahi, Rav Paskins, Reach Milsahi, Levi says it's Lav Milsahi. We know that when it comes to Rav and Levi, halacha ke Rav. That means that you have Rav saying that Reach Milti, that flavor is a Milti, it has mamashut, has significance in Alocha. Whereas Rova, who the Alocha is also like, is saying Reicha Lav Milsihi. So if that's the case, now you have a Stira in the Siske Alocha. How do you reconcile that Stira? So Rashi reconciles it, and that's what Tosa brings over here. Perisham Rashi, in the Gemara Pesachim, Rashi says, Va'afagav detanya kavasi derav, even though we have a brayta that supports Rav's position, the Asar, Mikol makom alocha kelevi, the Shari, the alocha is like Levi, because Rava sovar kavate, Rava in our Gemara holds like Levi, and then Gabi batia, Va'alocha kerava le Gabi abaye, alocha is like Rava kebaye, and Rava is a batra. So therefore, the alocha is like Rava, and that will override the fact that there's more, there's a brayta supporting Rav, and the Rav can lay, against Levi, the alocha should be like Rav. Nevertheless, since we have Rav over here, the, against the Bayan, Rava says, Reich alav milsahi, we're going to pass one like Levi in the Gemara and Pesachim. So that's how Rashi reconciles between the two. Rashi says, Enochanami, you have a stira in the alocha, and Rava is going to govern, and Rav, therefore the alocha will not be like Rav there, but rather like Levi. That's Rashi's answer. Tosfos does not like that, and therefore Tosfos is going to do is like he does everywhere. It's going to be mechalek between the locha here and the locha there. V'chein nira devade locha kerav dehotam recha miltihi. The locha in the Gemara Pesachim is like Rav, that recha miltihi. The locha in our Gemara is like Rava, that gabi batiya recha lav milsihi. What's the difference between them? He says the shani hocha shunene umeiriach min esur hayayin atzmo. So over here, there's a big difference than over there. Over here, we're talking about where he gets the, he's smelling and the, getting hanoah from the flavor of the wine, this wine that is asur, and the yain atzmo. It's the yain itself that he is inhaling or that he is smelling. And therefore, it's as if he's drinking the wine. It's as if he's inhaling or taking in the wine. But in the Gemara Pesachim, we're talking about flavor that's being imparted to another item. You have two items cooking in the oven, and one of them is giving off some sort of flavor, smell, that is now being imparted to the second item. But when you come to eat the second item, that item is now a heter item, which you now have the other flavor inside of it. And he's eating the heter. And he says, even Abaye would be mode, the reich alav milsihi. Rava nami ocha. And Damrei, Ano Damrei, Afilu Karav, Damar Hatam Recha Milsi. And Rav can even claim that I hold like Rav over there. The shiny hocho, that over here it's different. Shereach maziklo, because here the reach is hurting him. Fishenichnas begufo. Kachamar el reach alav milsihi. So what Tosas does here is differentiates between the two cases. He says that Rava could agree to Rav in the Gemara Mesachim. Abaye could even agree to the position of Levi in the Gemara Mesachim. And why is that? So for Abaye, you can distinguish between our case here and the Gemara Mesachim, because our case here, you're inhaling, you're smelling the Isser itself. That's why it's problematic. That's why it's Reich HaMilsi, you're going to Abaye. Gemara Mesachim, what are you consuming? You're consuming something that's totally mutar, bread. It was totally mutar. Problem is that there was something else cooking in the oven, there was a flavor in the oven, and that got imparted to the bread, but when you consume, you're consuming bread of Heter. It might be that the Isser is there, but you're not smelling, you're not ingesting the Isser. That's not what the problem is, that there's some flavor given to something that's Heter. That won't be problematic. So therefore, Abaye will say, even though over here I think Reich HaMilsi, over there I will not say Reich HaMilsi. Rava will do the opposite way around. Rava says, and we said this before, why does Rava say over here the Reich HaLav Milsihi? Because we say it's Havi Kishut, it's like drinking, but there's a negative effect, which is that the burst of the wine, the smell of the wine coming to you, is negative. And that negative, in a holistic sense, overrides the fact that the Reich HaMilsihi. So Rava says over here, you have a bad flavor, a bad thing that happens to your goof right away. That is Reich HaLav Milsihi. But the Gemara Mesachim, the flavor being imparted is a good flavor, a positive flavor. Over there, all agree to Rav and say even Reich HaMilsihi. So that's how Tosfos says that the arguments are totally different arguments. That as opposed to Rashi sees them as a single problem, and therefore he paskins like a bai against Rav over there because he says the loch is like Rav over here. Tosfos will say that whatever the loch is over here is irrelevant to what the loch is over there. There are two different cases. A bai can agree with Rav or Levi over there, and Rav can agree with Rav or Levi here because the cases are distinct and we can distinguish between them. And then Tosfos, based on this, comes to a conclusion, which is a very, the Inyan Halacha, which is an extremely important Halacha. That is that the Inyan Recha, it's about dead center of the Tosos, so a little past the dead center of the Tosos. Inyan Recha, the Hatam Halacha Kirav. Well, now the Halacha is like Rav over there, which means that Recha is Miltihi. Dama Recha Miltihi. Hani Mili Bitanurim Shilaham Shehayuk Tanim. That's only in their ovens that were small. Vua Din Tachat Machavat Shilanu Shikorim Tripod. Or probably a tripod. Under some sort of frying pan that is a tripod by us, she'ofin tachta pashtadida, some sort of dough that they used to cook. I don't know if it's like a phyllo dough or some sort of bereka type of dough that they're cooking. Kamo kein rein richa milsi. In those cases, then the smell matters. Aval betanurim gidolim. When we're talking about large ovens, shalanu ein lachuch lerecha. Don't worry about the flavor being passed by smell. Ubuvad shalo yipi etanur satum. As long as the oven's not closed and there's some escape hatch, there's some venting of the oven, then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry if they cook there some sort of dough, right? Some filled, like a meat-filled phyllo dough, in trita shel gvina with some sort of cheese. I don't know, call it some sort of cheese Danish or cheese, cheese breka. So you can't even do it together. But tanu echad, rak shlo yiguz, as long as they don't touch each other. Oh, in my sur. Or the pashtid is not meat, but rather isur, you also don't have to worry about it. Kogain im shamnunita isur la merda, shakurim palo belaz. But if the fat of the isur then was on the pala, I'm not exactly sure what this pala is, asur li ten heter ala. I don't know if that's the grill, then you can't put heter on it, kolayom, just for that day. Miu, sheino bat yoma, once it passes the day already, then that flavor is not in tam defkam, because it's eino bat yoma, then mustar the hishtamesh bat lechatchila, then you can use it without. Velo gazu sheino bat yoma, to bat yoma fil lechatchila. They weren't goes there, eino bat yoma, after 24 hours, before 24 hours. Came into lefshar. Sheovei kuchavim, lo yishmalo, lo sot merdach hadasha, b'chol pam opam. The goy is not going to listen to make a new, I don't know if this is a grill, whatever this item is that they place the item on, make a new one each time. Shispacha shel isur. But on the other hand, if the actual Isser flowed out and touched the Heter or Tachet Heter and was right under the Heter, then it's a Sur. A very important halacha that comes out from here from Tosfos is about when, first of all, we say Recha is Milsa here in the oven. That's only when the oven doesn't have is not a large oven and doesn't have a vent. So maybe today, in our ovens, that should be the case. Our ovens are large ovens, obviously compared to the Katosas are clearly big ovens today. And they have a fan that goes in the oven that vents the oven out. So over there, according to this Tosafot, it should be fine to cook. You could have your lasagna going in there with roast beef going. Now this might only be true when you're talking about your vesh. That's something you have to be careful about, only with dry items. When you have liquids, that might change the effect over here. So at least when you have dry items, that might be the case. When it's liquids, you might have to cover them if you put them into the same oven. And Tosafot at the way in, just for a little bit of matzah and chametz, he says, the last line here, he says, "V'mafu ha-matzot b'shivat yimei ha-pesach." They baked matzot in an oven all Pesach, and himsed chita chametz b'achad mehem. Kulan asura. And then you find one chita or chametz in one of them, everything's asur. Utamer nami yish lesur, dafakav the tanurim shalanu rechalav milsihi. Even though I just said to you that in our tanurim, rechalav milsihi, so why should the chametz affect him? Mikom home, neither tam leka, mikom home mashu ba'ama ika. You're right, there is no flavor imparted, but there's still a mashu. So that makes a difference. When Isur is determined by Mashu, Chometz is also by Mashu. So when you're talking about Reichalab Milsi, or in our ovens, there is no Reach, it doesn't make a difference because they're so big and they're vented, it doesn't make a difference. That's true in terms of imparting flavor. So in terms of imparting flavor, they don't impart flavor in a way that we have to worry about it. On the other hand, there still is something that happens in the oven. There is some mashu that gets into the item. That mashu generally is not a problem. But when it comes to chametz al pesach, which also be mashu, then it is a problem. So even though that rech, if it was any other time of the year, was basar b'chalav, cheese and meat in there, cooking away, and there was no problem at all, because it's bent and it's a big oven. Nevertheless, when it comes to Pesach, where the Isser is b'mashu, and not b'notin tam, there is a problem, because even though there's no flavor, there is a mashu that is imparted. So very, very important halachas that come out of these tosas, halacha the maaseh, that we deal with today in our ovens. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue with the sugya tomorrow.